The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So maybe we'll start. I'll start by saying a few words. Welcome to everybody in this kind of new configuration, being here in the community hall. We'll be here. The plan is for one more week, and then we'll go back into the meditation hall. But one advantage of being in this room is that we have Mahapajapati here rather than the Buddha. I shouldn't say rather than the Buddha, but the Buddha isn't out here, Mahapajapati is. And not only is her name really fun to say, she is honored here. She's the first Buddhist nun. So she's the first woman who went to the Buddha and said, you know, I'd like to ordain, I'd like to devote my life to practice. I can do just what the men are doing. But an interesting thing about her is that she actually is the Buddha's foster mother. His own mother died a few days after he was born. And so this person raised him. She had another child at the same time, raised the person who became the Buddha. And then, you know, a few decades later, she ordained under her son, right, to lead the women's order. So she's quite a remarkable woman. So it's nice to have her as part of our practice. So one thing that I actually personally feel really touched about loving kindness practice here in the Buddhist tradition is the idea, and for me even the experience, that we don't have to leave ideas of love. I'm sorry, we don't have to have like this idea of experiencing love. We don't have to leave it up to chance. This love, warmth, kindness. But in fact, the Buddhist teachings are that we can cultivate it and we can create the conditions that it's just more and more likely that it'll arise in all kinds of situations. And that's one of the reasons why we practice loving kindness meditation, is so that we the recognition that whatever we incline our mind towards, it's more apt to, the mind is more apt to go that direction. We all know this. This is how habits get created. This is how some like character traits get created too. Right? And now in contemporary times, they will talk about this as neuroplasticity, right? That we make new neural networks. So loving kindness practice is to increase the likelihood, to make it easier that we will experience love, warmth, kindness in all kinds of situations, not just when our perfect partner arises or a family member arises or the pet of the household arises, shows up. But one thing about loving kindness practice is not only does it soften our hearts and incline our minds a certain direction, but it also shifts our perceptions, the way we view things, the way we view people, the way we see things and people, the frame of reference we use. We may discover as we're practicing metta, loving kindness, towards someone, that our ideas, our view, our thoughts about them shift, especially if metta is really strong and if we've been doing it for a certain amount of time. So we may notice that some ideas that we had about a person start maybe being one particular way, but then after practicing metta in a certain way, it's shifted, it's a little bit different. And that in itself has its benefit, right, that we soften our view towards others. But there's another benefit. Once we notice that, oh, I just did this meditation practice, and now my thoughts, my ideas about this person are different. Well, what is true about this person? Is it what I was thinking before, or is it what I'm thinking now after loving kindness practice? So we can just notice that our perceptions, our ideas, our views about other people, about ourselves, about objects, about experiences, are pliable, malleable. They're not set. They're not constant. They're not written in stone. And then once we notice that there's this malleability, this pliability in our perceptions or ideas about other people, that also can support a certain softness, can support a letting go of wanting the person to be a particular way or not to be the other in a particular way. And then we can understand that with this, with loving kindness practice, there's less aversion, right? Less anger or hatred. Hatred's a strong word, but less ill will. And we may notice that it shifts our perceptions. Those two things, lessening of aversion, kind of letting go of our view that things are constant, that creates the conditions for some profound emotional healing. When we soften our views, we don't have to make it happen. This is just what happens if we do continued loving kindness practice. And we just naturally, our hearts will soften, and then just naturally we'll notice that our perceptions shift as a consequence of doing loving kindness practice. So this evening for loving kindness practice, for those of you who have been coming regularly know this, for those of you who are new, this may be new, that we'll start with where it's easiest, which usually is with a benefactor. We're defining a benefactor as somebody who has helped you, has supported you, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love and respect and warmth towards. If nobody comes to mind, nobody obvious, or it feels too complicated, you can always choose another lovable being. Some people will choose kittens or babies or puppies or, you know, something that kind of softens the heart. It doesn't have to be the perfect person. And the metta practice can settle us and deepen us if we choose one person. I'll say this, for this practice, let's choose one person and just stay with that person. If it feels like the wrong person, you can shift, but let's keep it as simple as possible. And then we'll shift to doing loving kindness towards ourselves. After we kind of have built up the loving kindness, I don't know what it is, force, feeling or something like this with the benefactor, then we'll shift towards ourselves. So when we do loving kindness practice, classically it's taught that there's three elements that are happening at the same time. However, it can be really difficult to keep all three elements going. And so just do what feels natural and what makes sense to you. One is a visualization of the benefactor or whomever you're doing loving kindness towards. Second is if there's any soft feeling in your heart, any warmth, any sensation or sense of loving kindness. And then third is the phrases that we use to support them. You may have facility of one of those three, and that may be enough. Maybe just checking in with a warm feeling in your heart may be sufficient. I'll be saying the phrases, and so maybe you are saying the phrases to repeating them in your mind supports you. Or maybe just visualizing somebody and having a felt sense of somebody that you really love supports you. You can do all three, you can do one, you can do a combination of the two. The point here is to not struggle, not make it difficult. We're just going to ease into this. So we're really promoting ease and simplicity. So with that, I'll also say there's encouragement to be comfortable. So you can, if you feel like, I need just one more cushion, one extra cushion, or to shift your posture, something like that, you're welcome to do that. And then I'll start us with a little bit of getting settled with some mindfulness practice. So let's begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. Perhaps with the exhale, you can feel some tension go away. And we'll bring the breath back to normal, just trusting that the body knows how to breathe itself. Let's see if we can soften some of the tension we may be carrying from our day. We'll start with just checking in with your head. Sometimes around the forehead, there can be some tension. Perhaps behind the eyes or in the jaw. Our faces and our mental states are closely connected. We know this because of like the expressions people have on their faces, right? Connected to what they think. So spending a little time to just be aware of the tension in our faces and seeing if there can be a softening, a letting go, without turning it into a big project. It's okay if there's still tension there. Can check in with the neck. And the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Our arms and hands. Hands should be relaxed and comfortable. But our back and belly. And our hips and legs and our feet. Now let's bring our attention to the sensations of breathing. Either the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of your nose. Just rest your attention on one of those three places. If you find your mind is wandering, it doesn't have to be a problem. You just very simply bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. If you find your mind has wandered, just begin again. Bring your awareness to the movement of the abdomen or chest, or perhaps feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Now we'll begin some loving kindness practice. So bring to mind a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy for you to feel warmth, kindness, love towards. It may be somebody that you know personally. You may not know this person personally. Perhaps they are a spiritual leader. If you can, bring this person to mind, visualizing him or her. You can check in with your heart center or wherever else it makes sense to check in about what you're feeling toward this person. If it's easier, you can choose a puppy or a kitten or a baby, perhaps. And then to support the feeling of kindness and care and warmth, we say phrases. And I'll say the phrases. And you can repeat them in your mind. But as I say them, you're also welcome to change them a little bit and make them so that they resonate with you. And of course, they don't have to be in English either. You're welcome to use any language that feels like expresses your love and care. So again, having the benefactor in mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in and see if you still have a visualization of their benefactor or lovable being. Maybe see if you have a warm feeling. You may not. We're just creating the conditions in which loving, warm feelings can arise. Doesn't mean that they will arise. We're not making things happen. And sometimes even the opposite feelings arise. Non-love, non-warmth. If you find that happening, see if you can make your awareness really large and just allow those feelings to be there. If it gets overwhelming, you can always go back to mindfulness, or you can open your eyes. You can feel your feet on the ground. These are some ways to work with any difficult feelings that may arise. But if you have warm feelings, and allow those to get as big as they'd like, and we'll support the feelings with the phrases. And again, keeping the benefactor or lovable being in mind. Setting our intention, our good wishes, our goodwill. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, bringing the benefactor to mind. And if there's any warm, kind feeling that you have, allowing that to get as large as it wants to. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we'll expand our loving kindness, any warm feelings we have, expand our intentions to also include ourselves. We deserve loving kindness. We're worthy of loving kindness. Can bring a felt sense of yourself. Some people find it easier to visualize themselves as a young person. Or you can perhaps visualize yourself now in any way that feels comfortable to connect with a sense of yourself. And extending the same good intentions, well wishes that we did for the benefactor towards ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, you can modify the phrases into something that resonates with you. And check in with yourself and any feeling of kindness or warmth or love. Allowing it to just be there. Allow it to get bigger if it wants to. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. We'll have silence for a little bit here so you can practice at your own pace. To bring into mind a sense of ourself. Seeing if touching into any sense of kindness, well-wishing, warmth, and extending that to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the chair or the cushion on your body, feel the pressure on your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So at the beginning, or before we started meditating, I talked about how loving kindness practice can shift our perceptions. So you might check in and see if you bring to mind the benefactor, how your view, your ideas, your thoughts about this person are now compared to before. They may or may not have shifted. There's no guarantee that things will happen. Often the longer you practice, longer both in, you know, durations of hours at a time, as well as months, you know, repetition. So it gets stronger and these things happen. Also with some views about ourselves. But it's not only loving kindness practice, right, that shifts our perceptions, our views. I can speak for myself. I know that when I'm in a hurry, all of a sudden, like, all those other drivers are worse. Like, I'm just, like, more impatient, right? And I have I have less of a generous attitude, let's say. Right? So our mind states influence how we perceive other things. With something that may not bother me at all, bothers me when I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, or when I'm feeling really hungry, or really tired, right? So when we see that our perceptions shift, then we can maybe let go or just soften just a little bit any holding on to particular views that are based on perceptions. And with that letting go and softening, our whole lives can change. A lot of healing can happen. A lot of freedom can happen. A lot of waking up can happen. We can start to see things differently. We can let go of old hurts and pains. Not all hurts and pains can be let go that simply, but it can help support it. So for the remainder of the time we have here, that would be nice if you want to get into groups of three, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There'll be two groups of four, and however many groups of three, and to talk about. Oh, well, actually, why don't you get into the group, and then I'll tell you what the first question is. And you don't have to do this. You don't have to talk about. Okay. So the first question is to just say, and you don't have to, you know, obviously we're not going to talk about our deepest, darkest secrets here, but just, did you notice that your perception shifted about of the benefactor before you did the loving kindness meditation and after? And if so, in which direction did you start to notice, like, actually, I really don't like this person. They did A, B, and C. Or did you feel this more warmth and kindness? Or did you feel the same? Right? All three responses are perfectly valid. But just to talk about, or just to notice what your perception was before and after the loving kindness meditation for the benefactor. So for the second question, so I had mentioned that I noticed that my perceptions change when I'm in a hurry, when I'm hungry, when I'm tired. What are some things that you've noticed that shift your perception, like that make you have a different mental state, that maybe you'll view others or view experiences in a different way? I listed things that maybe make me be less generous, but maybe you can think of states that help you appreciate other people. So we'll do this in a little bit different way. They can go around the circle and just say one thing very simply, for example, when I'm tired. And then the next person says something, and then the next person, and you could just go around in a circle, and maybe what one person says reminds you of something else, and then you say something. So together you come up with a number of things that can affect our mind states and the way that we perceive others. Okay? Positive. It can be either positive or negative. It doesn't have to be negative. I realize that the examples I gave were negative, but they don't have to be negative. So maybe I'll leave you this evening with this observation. Our views, our perceptions are influenced by our mind states. Think about this, right? What a kind of a profound discovery this can be. Our mind states can change. Our mind states do change. And we can cultivate particular mind states. And with loving kindness practice, we're cultivating a softness and openness, not a sentimental, grabby type of love and attachment, but some openness and softness. So I just encourage you to think about that, how your mental states and perceptions or views are linked, and how neither of them are fixed, always changing. So maybe it's 7 o'clock, so I want to respect your time, but if you want to come talk to me afterwards, you're welcome to. So thank you.